I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to Psalm 5, Psalm 5, verse 7. Psalm 5 and the 7th verse. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. In Psalm 5, David is testifying to his God-given faith as compared with the state of the wicked who are rebelling against God. And he describes their behavior in this psalm in very powerful language. They are those that were rebelling willfully against God, and he describes them as being boastful and workers of iniquity, of speakers of falsehood, of even being bloodthirsty and deceitful, unfaithful, destructive, having throats even like an open sepulchre, an open tomb, a flatterers. Now, before his conversion, David realized that his fallen heart was just the same. But God had made a change in his life under the great power of his Holy Spirit. David had been truly converted. And David now trusted in the Lord, and he looked by faith toward the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, as his Savior. So there is this stark comparison he is making. There is the attitude of the unbeliever, the wicked, and then David comes in and says, but as for me, as for me. And the fact that David now is a true believer is evident in the manner of his approach in worship. Here is a blessed example for us on how to approach the Lord in his house in a reverent way and yet by faith. There are five characteristics given here in this psalm of approaching God. And it's really centered in this thought, but as for me, God has made a change. Now, the first thing we see in David's testimony in what God had done in his life was that he now, instead of trusting in himself, he had a love for God's house, and he was trusting in the multitude of God's mercy. And it was just this short phrase that really got hold of me this week, the multitude of God's mercy. Isn't that an amazing statement this evening? Here is such encouragement this evening for us to come to the Lord. The multitude of his mercies. Mercies to cover all your sin, all your failures, all your unbelief in Christ Jesus the Lord. The multitude of his mercies becomes more meaningful to us the deeper our conviction of sin. And David was evidently a man who'd been under deep conviction of sin, and we know this in another psalm when he speaks elsewhere of a testimony and an experience in his life in Psalm 51. Under deep conviction of sin against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness. But here this dear man of God is trusting in the multitude of thy mercy. Notice here the similarity then between David and the tax collector in the New Testament. He came into the temple to pray, and he had a very short prayer. His prayer was quite simply, God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. The same approach. He was trusting in the multitude of God's mercies. Now, delight in faith, and faith in the mercy of God is one of the great signs of true conversion. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song. Well, here then is a taster before you this evening. I just share with you just a few references about the way in which God's mercy comes through in other psalms, and it just builds on this picture of really dependent upon the multitude of God's mercies, the multitude of thy mercy. Well, the psalmist says in Psalm 13, verse 5, I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So there, the psalmist is directly connecting God's mercy with salvation. I have trusted in thy mercy. And then he says in Psalm 25, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. And some of us who had rebellious teenage years, we sometimes look at that time and we marvel at God's protection upon us at such a time in our life. And we have to come with the psalmist and say, remember not the sins of my youth. But what is the plea? The mercy of God. In according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. But then later on, the psalmist said in Psalm 57, verse 10, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Oh, this God who has a multitude of mercies to bestow upon his people is the one whose mercy is great. And then in Psalm 69, verse 13, we have a similar prayer. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Oh, the multitude then of God's mercy. And is there not hope for us this evening? Satan may be saying to you, well, you've done this and this and this in your life, and trying to discourage you and leave you in despondency. And here's a text for you. There's a multitude of mercy with God. A multitude of mercy. And the psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 86, for great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Now again, here's encouragement, because we may feel sometimes to be the very worst of sinners in our own experience. But here is mercy which delivers us from the lowest hell. And then another time the psalmist said, when my foot slippeth, I feel myself slipping, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And then mercy is one of the great reasons for praise. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And I hope you don't mind, but I want to quote this evening, share with you this beautiful hymn. A number of you know it, but it's so helpful because the hymn writer speaks of this amazing mercy, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you. When Satan discourages you in coming to the Lord because of your past and present sins, remember David. Remember David. He came and he simply trusted in the multitude of God's mercy. And this is what the hymn writer picks up in when he writes, thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affection and bound my soul fast. Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing and its wonders I'll tell. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, my spirit revived, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. Thy mercy is more than a match for my heart, which wonders to feel its own hardness depart. Dissolved by thy goodness, I fall to the ground, and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking Jesus, for seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Great Father of mercies, thy goodness I own, and the covenant love of thy crucified Son, all praise to the Spirit whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. The hymn writer encapsulated the multitude, the wonder, the beauty of the mercy of God, not bestowing upon us what we deserve, his eternal wrath, but showing mercy, delivering us as we trust in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I read this illustration yesterday evening, and I'd never really thought of it this way, but this illustration speaks of God's mercy in this way. The writer says about to think of a clock. You know, a clock face, and then there's the hour hand, and then there's the minute hand. And he says, and he's using picture language here, think of the hands, like God's hands, passing over and over again, the short hand of discipline and the long hand of mercy. Surely and slowly the hand of discipline must pass, and God speaks at each strike of the hour, but over and over passes the hand of mercy. 24 times a day it goes round the clock. Compared with the twice that the short hand goes round the face of the clock. And that helps us to understand the balance of the way God deals with us. We do not like sometimes to be disciplined, but God disciplines us because he loves us and he cares for us. But in comparison with those times of discipline in trial and tribulation, the mercy of God is like the hour clock. It's going round and round 24 times a day, and it's moved so much more. But remember, both hands of the clock are secure to one central point. They both swing round one central point. And that reminds us of the heart of God's love. The discipline and the mercy of God, as we look at a clock, is going round the same central point. And it reminds us that God's mercy, which reaches up into the clouds, as it were, is so great. And it comes from the heart of God's love. But then the second way we see in which the psalmist approaches the Lord as a believer, not only according to his mercy, but also in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. It says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Now, in the original Hebrew language, the word translated fear has the meaning of having exceeding respect for someone. And here the psalmist has exceeding respect for God. It means to have an overwhelming sense of the majesty of the Lord on the throne, in his glory and in his sovereignty. The fear of the Lord. And so we see David approaching by faith, trusting in the multitude of the Lord's mercies, but doing so respectfully, not presumptuously. He comes as a trembling sinner before God, and he relies totally upon the mercy of the Lord, but he does so respectfully. And his respect for the Lord forms part of his act of worship as he pleads the mercy of the Lord in his own life. Now, we read in Revelation chapter 4 about the awesome throne of God. What a solemn picture it was. But you will notice that in the book of Revelation 4, it spoke about a rainbow over the throne. And the rainbow is a picture for us of the merciful faithfulness of God. Where would we be without the rainbow? How could we approach a holy God, an awesome God, without his mercy and his love and his grace? And as the rainbow was the sign of God's faithfulness to Noah, so the rainbow over the throne is the encouragement for us this evening, that in heaven, on the throne, there's a rainbow of God's mercy. And as we come with respect unto God in the fear of the Lord, we have faith in the multitude of his mercies. But you will notice here also that this praise is a directed praise. Will I worship toward thy holy temple? Now, part of his worship involved discipline in his mind and focusing his praise toward the Lord. So we read in verse 2 of this same psalm, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I praise. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. I will look up. That's where my hope comes from. And you'll notice here the urgency in the verses here. It's like a real sense of urgency coming through in this testimony also. So in the multitude of God's mercies, in the fear of the Lord, in praise which is directed unto the Lord, but then in submission to the will of the Lord. So in verse 8, another a way in which we approach the Lord in worship is, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Wake thy way straight before my face. And here is another evidence of a true believer. When our desire for guidance desires the pathway of righteousness, this is one of the great tests, really. Make thy way straight. The advantage of a straight path is that we make much more spiritual progress and advancement. Satan will want us to deviate, go into cul-de-sacs, stop in the lay-bys, but God's way is straight. And as we go on a straight way, we make far more progress spiritually in God's way. Well, knowing the will of the Lord, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. It's knowing the will and the way of the Lord clearly by his word and providentially and according to God's perfect way. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before thy face. But then, fifthly, the fifth step is real joy, real joy. But let all those, in verse 11, that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favour, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now you'll notice here that this is a cry to all those who are going to put their trust in the Lord, both small and great. Let all those that put their trust in the Lord rejoice. Isn't this amazing? You may think that you have but little faith, but if you're trusting in the Lord and you're looking to the Lord, you can rejoice in him. And there are two reasons given here for us to be joyful. Let us then ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Thou defendest them. God's defense. Now we may go through many difficult pathways in our life, but if we trust in the Lord God, our souls are secure in his hand. God defends his people, and it's an eternal security in him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. But then also we rejoice in his character. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. And so there are two reasons given here for rejoicing. One is the defense of God. He's for his people, for all those that put their trust in him. And he has a glorious name. And so we can rejoice in his glorious character, the faithfulness of God, the unchangeable character of God, the truth of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. Oh, he is indeed a wonderful name. And all God's people will love his name. They'll love to hear about God. We'll love to hear about the Lord Jesus. We'll love to hear from his word. Now that love might grow cold sometimes, but nevertheless, the heart of that love is there in every truly converted person. Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, as we come to conclusion this evening, I want to look at two testimonies recorded in the Word of God, which may help us in our understanding of this wonderful testimony of David. Because David, when he came to the end of his life, he had a song which he spoke in just towards the end of his life, and he was recording the wonderful goodness of God in his life, and how the Lord had wonderfully blessed him and undertaken for him and protected him and blessed him in his life. Now, when we think about David's testimony, he was called by grace when young in years. He knew God's protection from the lion and from the bear. He was strengthened by God to kill Goliath. He was protected from Saul and Absalom. He was given great victories in battle. He was restored from backsliding. He was taught deeply of the Lord in spiritual matters of the soul. He was the great psalmist of Israel. And as he looks back over his life, he acknowledges that his house is not so with God. As for me, my house is not so with God. Oh, there's problems in my house, he's saying. Nevertheless, there is an eternal covenant and sure. There is a covenant with him in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord, ordered in all things and sure. There is something in my life that I can depend upon. There is a rock upon which I stand. And then, as he writes, he says, as for God, his way is perfect. Now that's a remarkable testimony, to come to the end of our life, through all the ups and the downs, and be able to say by faith, as for God, his way is perfect. He said, as for me, I will trust here in the multitude of God's mercies. I will come into the house of the Lord in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear, and will I worship toward thy holy temple. As for me, but what about God? As for me, I need to depend upon God's mercy. But as for God, his way is perfect. And there are a number of believers here this evening who can testify of this amazing truth. As for God, a God who has delivered, sustained, protected, blessed, provided, restored. It's a wonderful testimony. And they can come and say, as for me, I'm trusting in the multitude of God's mercies, but as for God, his way is perfect. And we have the same type of confidence in the testimony of Moses when he was coming to the end of his earthly pilgrimage. He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 32 about his testimony about God. And he says in Deuteronomy 32 and verses 1 to 4, give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord and ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Do you see the similarity here? Here's a man that was 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the backside of the desert, feeding sheep, tending sheep, and 40 years in the wilderness leading the children of Israel. And because Moses on one occasion was angry with the children of Israel and he smote the rock in anger, he was deprived in discipline of not entering the Canaan land, and he had to go, and he went straight to glory from the edge of the wilderness. But this man was not bitter. As for me, I trust in the multitude of God's mercies. But as for God, he is the rock, his work is perfect. And now this is the testimony of all God's people when they come to the end of their life. And what will your testimony be when you come to the end of your life? Are you trusting in the mercy of the Lord? Do you find this verse a great encouragement this evening? The multitude of God's mercy. Is there not hope for you in this verse to come just as you are and plead the mercy of the Lord? The multitude of God's mercies, just like David did? Well, may the Lord truly help you to do so, because the mercy of the Lord for us is found in the precious person and work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we come to him just as we are, and we look to him, and we believe in him, and we say, Lord, take my life. Lord, give me real repentance. Give me real faith. Give me real sincerity, Lord. I cannot manufacture all these desires up in my own life of the flesh. But I come to thee, O Lord, just as I am, and I'm absolutely, totally dependent upon thee. And Lord, I have a plea. And this is where I begin. The multitude of thy mercies. Because if God, the eternal God, the God who is infinite in power and in mercy and in grace, has the multitude of his mercies, surely I can be redeemed according to the mercy of the Lord in Jesus Christ. There's a multitude of mercies. The Lord puts this in his word for our encouragement this evening. When Satan tempts you to say, oh no, you're just too bad, it's really hopeless for you, you tell Satan, God says there's multitude of his mercy in his word. And David found it. And David wasn't perfect. So I'll come just like David. And I will come into the house of the Lord. And I won't come in my own righteousness. I won't come in my own goodness. No, this is the way I'm going to come into the house of the Lord. In the multitude of thy mercy. And in the fear I will worship toward thy holy temple.